Cavs will not get out of the first round of the playoffs if they don't fix one thing, and they need to fix it immediately. And I am not talking about the goaltending situation. And by the way, we do have a goaltending situation, but that is separate from this.
We do, big time.
Yeah. Okay, we'll circle back to that. But the Avs lose on Saturday in a way that we are unfamiliar with, getting absolutely dominated to the tune of 7-0 to the Winnipeg Jets. Are you kidding me?
The team we're here had to play a series with. And we've been dominated this whole season so far.
It's true. The Winnipeg Jets have just owned the Avs. And when I say have owned the Avs, I'm talking about three games with a combined score of 17-4. You heard that right.
17-4?
Pretty brutal, all right? They lose to the Golden Knights yesterday in a game that they had a three-goal lead in the third period, and they lose in OT.
Reverse. They reversed it on us. Usually that's what we do. We like to come back.
Yep.
Not this time.
Yep. Nope, not this time at all. It was hard to watch in multiple facets. We'll get to why in just a second. But the thing that they need to fix immediately, all right, and I'm not talking about the goaltending, because that's that situation, you can't snap your fingers and fix it. It's the penalty kill.
Mm.
Watching the Avs kill penalties in the last week and a half has been a horror show. Yesterday, against Vegas, two power play goals for the Golden Knights. On Saturday, against Winnipeg, two power play goals for the Jets. Last week, against the Minnesota Wild, two power play goals versus Minnesota. Given up to Minnesota. The game before that, it was Dallas. Three power play goals given up to the Stars. Phil, in the last four games that the Avalanche have played, when you're trying to fine-tune the operation, they have given up nine power play goals in four games.
That's ridiculous, man.
It's simply not sustainable if you plan to win four times over a two-week period.
No, you're not going to win. You're not going to win any game, all right, if you're going to continue to do things like this and give up goals when you know you need to stop them. Our defense right now, Zach, is just it's not where it's supposed to be.
No.
And honestly, it hasn't been there this whole entire time. Now, there's been spots where it's like, okay, like, encouragement is coming.
Yes.
But overall, we have not been consistent with two places, the goalie position and the defense, right, helping Georgiev out. You're not going to win games if your defense is not solid or if they can't help you out. And then when you don't have a goalie that can steal a game, steal a series, that's not going to help you out as well. So it makes sense. It makes sense why we're not doing well, why we're giving up goals.
Well, that's how you lose 7-0.
Oh, yeah.
It's your goaltending is not good and your defense is porous. And you look at, I think it was the first two. Against Georgie on Saturday against Winnipeg. It's you're giving guys, I mean, they're it's the slam dunk of hockey. You're talking about point blank opportunities right in front of Georgie. He's already not a plus goaltender, and you're just putting him in impossible situations. And then when he's actually asked to step up and make a play above the quote unquote X's and O's,
yeah,
he doesn't do that either. And Bednar talked about that dynamic after the game.
I thought he played a good hockey game, but like he's got to come up with a save, you know, like he has to come up with a save on if we have a breakdown, penalty kill, and to come up with a big save for the guys, you know, and you know, they hit a couple posts and they scored some goals, you know, like we're going to need a big save from time to time in order to win hockey games, especially ones like that.
Yeah, and look, not all of it's on Georgie. We've been talking about this for weeks. Like when the puck is crossing through the crease at absurd speed and leading to just one-timers on the other side of the net.
With no defense either.
No.
Nobody there to stop it or help you out or slow the bleeding down. Like, what are you expecting? But then on top of that, Zach, it's like, Georgiev, you are the goalie. You are the man of the hour. You have to make a big save. I haven't seen another big save in a while. The last time I've seen like Georgiev kind of look like he was going to stand on his head was against the Rangers versus his old team, right?
Yeah, right.
I haven't seen that since. I haven't seen that passion since. All I have seen from Georgiev is mental breakdowns and not being able to I like to call it one snap, because in football it was one snap and clear for us. I don't know what you would like to call it in hockey.
Sure.
Okay, one puck and clear, whatever you want to call it.
One shift and clear.
Mentally,
maybe.
Georgiev
yeah.
is not there,
no.
and that's not good for us.
No. He if we're sticking with the football analogy, he's like a quarterback who throws a pick and can't. He just goes to, you know what? He can never rein it back in. And I'll tell you this, Phil, if we're sticking with the goaltender, like if you're freaking out after giving up regular season goals because it's too much pressure, it's about to get so real. And you're either that pressure is either going to form a diamond or it's going to bust a pipe. And I'm just going to be honest, because I'm not going to put lipstick on it. I have a horrible feeling about these next couple weeks with the Avs.
It's funny because you guys have talked about it, and we've talked about it with the team in, what was it, 2022, was it? And we didn't have the solid goalies as well. Now, I think they're better than the ones we have.
Yeah.
But also, we counted on the high-power offense we have, the people that we have, like McKinnon, that can score and all that. Where are they at? Okay, we're built around them. Now, our defense isn't going to be as solid as we want to because of how we play, how our offense is schemed up, so we're not going to be heavy on the defensive side of it. That means that we have to score goals.
Yeah.
We haven't been scoring goals like that. Val has been MIA, even if he's out there on the ice. He's still out there MIA. That's an issue.
One goal in the last 10 games for Val.
See, that's an issue, Zach. So as much as we want to kind of blame Georgiev, which we should have, blame him a little bit. He has a little bit of the blame.
Yeah.
The defense is not good.
Right.
On top of that, our strengths are not doing well. You're not going to win. And Winnipeg owns us, and they're more physical than us.
Right.
And it's going to be an issue in the playoffs if we don't turn things around on the scoring side of it.
Well, the Avs have lost 5 of their last 7. All right. And the 2 wins are both against the same team. And that's the Minnesota Wild, who just aren't going to be able to compete with a team like the Avs. But you look at these other teams who are real teams, like winning teams, the Golden Knights, the Jets, the Stars, the Oilers. That's in the last week. They haven't just lost. I mean, they've got dominated in most of those games. And where they haven't, they're blowing 3-goal leads. I just don't know how you can look at this team with clear eyes and say you feel great about it. It's impossible. What you would feel great about is if you won the Fan Flyaway contest presented by Sport Clips. It's back. We're sending one lucky listener and a guest to a road game for the Pro Basketball Championship in June. You could win 2 tickets to a game, round-trip airfare for you and a buddy, a 2-night hotel stay, and $500. It doesn't cost anything to enter. Head to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to register and claim your special offer from Sport Clips. And those of you who previously entered a Fan Flyaway for the big game in February, you're already part of the club. You don't have to re-enter. Once you sign up, you're entered in for all future flyaways. Take the 2 minutes and sign yourself up, because you can be part of this for flyaway contest yet to come, in addition to this great prize. All right, going to ask the question. If the Avs suffer another early postseason exit, is Jared Bednar's job in jeopardy? Real question. It's next. If the Avs suffer another postseason exit, let me rephrase that. If the Avs suffer another early postseason exit, is Jared Bednar's job in jeopardy?
Ooh.
Now,
hot seat, huh?
This is a nuanced conversation. And yeah, I think it's more than fair to ask the question. Where you land on the question could be a little bit different of a tone. But obviously the Avs didn't make it out of the first round last year as a reigning champion.
Yeah.
Not ideal.
Nope.
But if you look before the championship was won, there was some early exits, even when the Avs were favored to literally win the Stanley Cup. Couldn't get out of the second round 3 years in a row. Now, they weren't favored to win the Cup all 3 of those years. But the last one, they were. So it's like a lot of early postseason exits. that you're okay with initially, but then it was like, especially that when it happened for a third time. But then they break through and win the cup, but then it's followed by a first round exit. And I'll tell you what, if they don't figure their you know what out, it's going to be another early postseason exit. And not that it's all on Bednar, but in pro sports, heavy is the head that wears the crown if you're the coach. And especially in hockey, they have a quick trigger with these guys. And I'm curious, after saying all that, do you think Bednar's seat could be warming up?
Yeah, I think that Bednar's seat is not just warming up. It's pretty hot. It truly is. Although he did get over the hump and get a cup and was able to raise that, it's before that, and it's now. And it's the issues of last year being embarrassed of we couldn't get out the first round. It's this year where we're getting ready to go into the playoffs, and I feel like we're down and out already, which is kind of a weird feeling to feel like because of the defense, the goalie, us not doing well on the power play. It's just it's a lot of stuff. And then Bednar's just kind of sitting there, and it just seems like we're stagnated.
Yeah.
We're stagnated,
yeah.
Man. And if we can't get out this first round, why should he not be on the hot seat?
Yeah, and this conversation, and I don't want to get confused here in any way, shape, or form. We are, first of all, not advocating for the Avs to move on from Jared Bednar.
No.
We both love Jared Bednar.
Yes.
He has been great for this team. But it is pro sports, and you can't have it both ways. And this is what I mean. You can't say that you have the best player in the world, two of the five best players, two of the seven best players in the world.
That's wild to even say on the same team.
Yeah. Three of the best 10 to 12 players in the world, four of the top 20 players in the world. You don't get to puff your chest out and say all that and then make it out of the second round one time during this window and then say that there shouldn't be any type of consequences either. You can't get to have all your cake and eat it too.
On top of that, McKinnon's going to win the Hart Trophy this
right,
year.
Right, which is going to make it more glaring.
It is going to make it a lot more glaring when you have all that firepower. Okay, all that firepower and that punch, but you're hitting like a kitty cat. It just doesn't go together. And after a while, you're going to get tired of it. The fans are going to get frustrated, all right? Ownership will be frustrated, and it's like you have to make a move. You have to switch things up. Sometimes it's good to have a little change, something different. You've said it before, and he got there. Bednar got to the promised land.
He did.
But it's like, can you continue to do that with the high-powered team we have? Because we're not going to always have all these horses sitting here ready for us, and then we're going to have to restart.
Yeah. Obviously not a fun conversation. But guess what? Avalanche hockey isn't very fun right now.
No.
You're talking about the fans getting frustrated? They were booing the team on Saturday.
Right before the playoffs.
Yeah. This is when you are supposed to be fine-tuning. And this is not 2 years ago. When the Avs had the one seed locked up, and they were kind of just getting that senioritis. Just let's just get the party started.
Yeah.
We're ready to party. This isn't a party. And they lost six of their seven to finish the season. And I know there was still, if you were watching, there was still reasons to be concerned. They just flipped it on like a light switch and went 16-4 on their way to a cup. But man, on the heels of losing in the first round, now seeing what you're seeing, and Saturday there was actual stakes on the line, home ice advantage on the line.
Yeah.
And the team that you're going to play is the team who is in the building. And they had two goals on the board before the Avs put a shot on goal. I mean, goodness. So I don't want to be freaking out, but at the same time, like, dude, I'm about to hit the panic button because we could be looking at back-to-back first-round exits. That's not a hot take. That's not me trying to be dramatic. I'm watching the games and reacting to what my eyes and my gut are telling me.
That's unacceptable, man. Back-to-back, okay, McKinnon's about to win, finally get his shot at having this MVP. Okay, we did a lot of great stuff this year, but also we all know when there's bad things in there, it can mask it, and it can kind of push the good stuff down, especially knowing, all right, that we're getting ready to hit playoffs. How many more games they got? One?
One.
One more game.
That's it.
To kind of tune up.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be a tune up, right? I thought Vegas was going to be that, okay, bounce back game. We needed it. We're going to move on, win the last game of the year, and now let's start it. But no, we let Vegas come back and beat us. Winnipeg, who we're going to play in the playoffs, have been dominating us.
All season long.
All season long. It's just, it's frustrating. It's frustrating, and this is my first year on this journey with you, Zach.
Yeah.
And it's going to be ups and downs. It's going to be frustrating, and this is going to be bully ball. It's going to be, or puck, I should say, bully puck. Yeah. Just like when we get to the final.
Sure.
It's going to be about how aggressive you are. Can you make the shots? Can you have big saves? Can Georgiev come up big? I'm not so confident Georgiev's going to come up big for us.
No. Watching Vegas's first goal, little wraparound, dude. It's practice. It's expected to be stopped at the AHL level.
Yeah.
And then you lose 4-3 after having a 3-0 lead in the third period.
Yeah.
Dude, holy crap. Not great, Bob. All right. This spring, Phil and I are hitting the streets and taking the show on the road. It's the Drives Brouhaha. Our first stop is in Edgewater at Edgewater Beer Garden. We'll be there this Friday, April 19th, from 2 to 6 p.m. Head to denversports.com/drive for more details. All right, the Broncos need to solve the quarterback riddle in the worst way. But if they can't, one of our buddies made a wild suggestion. How wild? You be the judge. Coming up next. Oh, you do? Join us in Edgewater on Friday, then, at Edgewater Beer Garden. We're going to be there 2 to 6. I know you like that. I know you like that. You can head to denversports.com/drive for more details. We're hitting the road this spring. It's the Drives Brouhaha. All right, holy smokes. We have been firing through the show with incredible pace. We have so much going on. Going to shift gears here because we were just talking about the Avs for a couple segments, talking about the Nuggets, and we will circle back and talk about some, we'll lift some stones up that we didn't turn over in those conversations here shortly. But in the meantime, the Denver Broncos need to solve the quarterback riddle in the worst kind of way. But if they can't, one of our buddies made a wild suggestion. How wild? I'll let you be the judge. Our buddy Troy Rank from the Denver Post, all right, formerly of Denver 7, put a piece out there, put a little column out there.
Put something together for us.
He did. It's rooted in reality. And we'll see if the roots bear fruit that lives in reality as well. The Broncos need to address the quarterback position, but they're not in a great spot to do it.
Mm.
They're picking at 12, not 4. You want to get up to 4? You may need to mortgage the future. Could be definitely on the table, as is drafting a quarterback at 12. But say you don't love Bo Nix and you don't love Michael Penix Jr., and you're also not willing to trade all the way up to the top of the draft, which I think both of those things are reasonable if that's a thought over there.
Yeah.
You didn't address the position in free agency, so you could be in a very uncomfortable spot here. This is where Troy's idea comes in, and it's based off comments made on a podcast. Troy Rank said Sean Payton needs to pick up the phone and call his friend, Tom Brady.
Oh.
Troy said, quote, "The idea is preposterous, or is it? Why would Brady, who turns 47... on August 3rd, want to return to the NFL for the same reason rock stars date supermodels? Because they can." End quote.
How old is Greg Penner?
54.
And Tom is 47.
Oh my God, you're right.
What's going on, man?
They would have gone to maybe like elementary school together if it goes up to sixth grade and not like go to middle school. Like one's in sixth grade, one's in kindergarten maybe. I mean, I did not even think about that.
Wow.
Yeah. And
Tom's that old, huh?
He's that old, man.
And Penner's that young. Isn't that crazy how we're saying that?
Yeah. And honestly, we went down a rabbit hole early last week, I think it was, when I was like, would you trade lives with Greg Penner?
Yeah.
And sacrifice time, arguably the most valuable commodity on earth, for incredible wealth. And we had a really fun conversation.
It was fun.
It spun off into a life of its own. But during that exercise, we're like, wow, Penner's only 54.
Yeah.
And he looks good. I don't know why. I think when you think NFL ownership, you think older. That's all, I think.
Well, because a lot of them are older. A lot of them are like 65, 68, 70 years old.
Yep.
Greg Penner's 54, man. And we're talking about Tom coming back to the NFL at 47 years old.
So it's kind of a funny topic because, again, rooted in reality for a couple different reasons. The first reason is that Tom Brady appeared on this podcast, Shadow Lions Deep Cut, on a team called him, would he actually play? And he said, I'm always going to be in good shape. I'll always be able to throw the ball. So to come in and play for a little bit, like Mike coming back, Michael Jordan, I don't know if they would let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it. And he's referencing would they let him because he's trying to get involved with Raiders ownership. Troy Rank points out to the fact that Kyle Shanahan wanted him as recent as last season. He also pointed out someone like Joe Flacco wasn't starting games since 2018 and just led the Browns to the playoffs. And don't forget, like, why Denver? Sean Payton and Tom tried to get together and go to Miami. Remember that story?
I remember that.
Where they're meeting on a boat with, who's the Dolphins owner there? Ross, I think last name's Art Ross, yeah, or something like that. That Miami got, like, punished for trying to get Brady and Sean Payton together. And Troy, at the end, points out, dude, Michael Jordan came back and played for the Washington Wizards. There's a lot of connected to reality. Maybe it's not as preposterous as some would think. What do you think? I said Art Ross. Stephen Ross. Thank you, KJ.
Stephen Ross,
the owner of the Dolphins. Yeah. What do you think about the idea of picking up the phone and calling one of the GOATs?
Look, Tom has been great for many, 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 many years, right? But at some point, you just got to leave it alone. It's time to move on. This is supposed to be a kid's game, truly, not when you're 47.
Right.
There has to be a time where you have to let these quarterbacks develop. There's not going to be a lot of good football being played right now because the quarterbacks are so young. So young. But how did Tom, how did Drew, how did all of them get to where they're at? That GOAT status, right? Hall of Famers. They got their time. It's past time for the Tom Brady's and the Aaron Rodgers. It's past time. It's time for the newer generation, the newer quarterbacks and newer players to have their time to develop and go through their bumps and bruises instead of just trying to hurry up and do a quick fix. That's not going to help it. Maybe for 1 year, but then what about for the next year you're on your contract or the next year at that? If you take Tom Brady now, that young player that could be getting valuable time.
But who is that?
Well, for us, we don't know.
And that's why Troy put this out there.
Well, it's right now then.
Because this is a scenario where it's like you didn't address it in free agency.
Yep.
You're uncomfortable, if not unable to, in the draft. And then what do you do?
Well,
like, what do you do?
Why? If you're not going to get a quarterback because you couldn't get the quarterback you wanted, okay, you don't have a lot of pieces around if Tom Brady came. Do you really want to win, truly? Because Tom's here to win games. If you guys win too many games but not enough to go to the playoffs, you're in a no man's land yet again. Mm. But if you don't have Tom and you're just trying to find ways to win games but you lose a lot of them, you're going to have a better pick for next year to get somebody like Shador Sanders, somebody like that if you don't get a quarterback this year. I'm not putting anybody that's going to help me win if I don't get the quarterback I want this year. Come on now. Then we're going to be sitting here in no man's land again.
So you don't want Tom Brady?
Tom Brady. I love Tom.
No, you don't.
I wish the best for him.
Sounds like you hate his guy.
But his old butt needs to stay in that seat where he's getting his hair cut.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't see this coming. Fun article from Troy.
We should ask how many people will be willing to have Tom Brady as our quarterback.
It's if they don't address it in the draft.
If we don't address it in the draft.
Because you didn't address it in free agency. So Phil wants to see Jarrett Stidham over Tom Brady. Do you? Are you like Phil? When do you want to see Ben DiNucci over Tom Brady? Let us know.
Ramoslaw. Stidham now goes to Ben?
That's what I thought you said. Ramoslaw.com text line 303-713-1043. Funny conversation.
So we're doing quick fixes here, huh? That's what it looks like. Sean's doing a quick fix, huh?
Yeah, but it would be hilarious if John Elway, Peyton Manning, Russell Wilson and Tom Brady all ended up playing for the Broncos.
That would be some crazy stuff.
Unfortunately, probably doesn't live in reality. But we're doing sports radio, so we're in the toy aisle having fun. All right, hopefully you guys are having a good Monday. Thanks for making us a small part of it. And if you ever want to come hang out with me and Phil, like sit down, have lunch with us, come into the studio, be given a tour of the studio, sit at the same table in the same studio that we're doing the show live, all you have to do is subscribe to our Denver Sports YouTube channel. Between now and May 10th, you're going to be entered for a chance to win that. All right, hanging out, eating some Brothers Barbecue with us, getting a tour of the station, taking some pictures, and hanging out live in studio. Go to YouTube, search Denver Sports, and click the subscribe button. Okay, there was an all-time high moment for Denver Sports over the weekend. And for another Denver Sports star, an all-time low moment. And we'll look back at both coming up next.
What?
There was an all-time high moment for Denver sports over the weekend. And for another Denver sports star, maybe an all-time low moment. Get to that in just a second. If you haven't heard, it's the Fan Flyaway presented by Sport Clips. It's back, and this time we're sending a lucky listener and a guest to a road game for the Pro Basketball Championship in June. Here's what you get. 2 tickets to the game, round-trip airfare for you and a friend, 2 nights hotel stay, $500 in your pocket just because. Head to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to register and claim your prize. Claim your offer, rather, from Sport Clips, okay, and then register for the event. If you've already registered for the Fan Flyaway contest back in for the big game in February, you're already part of the club, and you're already automatically entered into this one, and you're entered into all future Flyaway contests. So it's just like a one-time thing. It takes less than 2 minutes to sign up, and it's absolutely free. And the upside of winning this thing is insane. It's just a fantastic package. All right, an all-time high moment for Denver sports over the weekend, and it was the legendary 10th national championship for the Denver Pioneers.
10 seconds. Steve Bouyum sends it off the glass. Getting there is Jared Wright. Time's going to come. Denver's going to win 10. The debate is over. There is no more argument. DU is officially the greatest college hockey program of all time.
I mean, think about that.
That's
statement.
Crazy. That's crazy.
They are like what Alabama is to college football.
Yes.
DU is to college hockey, the most championships of all time after winning number 10 on Saturday.
Of all time. Here in Denver. Right there. We pass by all the time. Actually, I went to school Denver South, across the street from DU.
Right.
You know, I only wish to go there. I only hoped to go there.
Yeah. Not enough hope was going to get you into DU. I'm sorry.
That's how I met you, because I didn't go there.
Right.
You're right there with me.
There's no Bruce Lee classes at DU. All right, you got to go up to Boulder to take those.
Oh, man. But, man, they did some great stuff. That game, I didn't know if they were going to win it or not, truly.
They weren't supposed to.
People were hyping up Boston College.
Oh, yeah.
They were hyping them up. Everybody on that team, plus their parents, were going to the NHL.
Yeah, right.
Okay,
yeah.
I was like, okay.
I think it was 14 guys that are headed to the league.
But little did they know who we had at goalie.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's not Georgiev.
No, it was not. Pios would be in big trouble. It was Matt Davis, who just peaked at the right time. You know, not a drafted player. Just peaking at the right time. He gave up 4 total goals across 4 NCAA tournament games and didn't give up a single goal when the season was on the line.
That's wild.
His legendary status was solidified. The one, it wasn't even a glove save. He like blocked it with his arm, and John Buchagross from ESPN on the call was befuddled at what he just saw.
Smith in front. Throw. Bucks it. Oh my God! What was that? Oh, oh, oh. Wow. Matt Davis is out of his mind.
I swear to God, doesn't that sound like a wrestling announcer?
Yeah, it sounds like when I come out. It's like what? It's like, what? What's going on? Every time I come out the shower, like, what's going on?
Listen to you. But seriously, that sounded like if I told you to close your eyes and Buchagross is calling Mick Foley flying through a table, it might sound like this.
Smith in front. Throw. Buchagross.
So legendary, so good. Pio's get it done again.
Man, yes.
The students were going crazy down the street.
How could you not? They were jumping on the poles,
yeah,
the light poles.
Yeah, yep.
Now, we've seen that before. I like when the Nuggets won last year,
yep.
You know, Nine News comes on. And
oh, yeah.
They're following everybody. You see Aaron Gordon out there running around with his jersey still on, ready for his house.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to show everybody where I live, but okay.
Right.
And there's people just on the light poles. And yep. I'm just sitting there like, somebody's going to end up getting hurt.
Yeah. In some places, they'll grease them on purpose. Like
for real?
Yeah, they'll grease them so you can't make your way up. Yeah. But,
we're going to need to do that again.
Yeah, maybe soon here in a couple months. How likely it is for the Avs, we'll circle back to that and talk about it. But what a great moment. And I got to play this guy's arrogant mouth before the game. Boston College captain Carter Guthier kind of like writing a check with his mouth that his team couldn't cash.
It's going to be epic. There's going to be a lot of emotions, and a lot of tears for that team over there. So we're happy and we're excited to get after it.
A lot of tears for that team over there. Get
tears
ready for
of joy.
Them. Yeah.
Tears of kissing that trophy.
Who says that before the puck drops of a title game?
When people blow smoke up your butt all day and you guys dominate throughout the whole entire year and you hearing all the good stuff and somewhere down the line you start to get a little too confident and you need to be humble.
Well, they got humbled, all right. The Pios cried as many tears as the Boston College team had goals, which both equals zero. So fantastic stuff from the Pios. And then I said all-time low moment. That may be mischaracterizing it, but, dude, UFC 300. Oh. Denver's Justin Gaethje. Oh, my gosh. I don't remember the last time I had such a visceral reaction off my couch late at night, but his finish with Max Holloway, my God.
Holloway shows some mortality. Look at this. Holloway just told him. Stand right here. Oh! Oh, the connection late! Oh!
Dude.
It was wild. I loved it. And, you know, things are starting to hit me now, Zach. Your wife and you're somewhere out of town.
Yeah.
And so you were allowed to watch UFC.
Yeah.
So without getting in trouble.
Yeah. It started at, you know, I would have been able to watch it anyway because my son goes down and the main card didn't start at 8. And so I would have been good.
Look at you. Pay-per-view and everybody's out the house.
I will tell you, the prelims started at like 6.
Yeah.
And my daughter was, my two and a half year old was watching it. So
Lord.
If she gets someone in daycare with a rear naked choke today, there'll be no more UFC for little Mia.
Oh, hey, but speaking of the fights.
Yeah.
All right. Gaethje, tough.
Oh, my right? God. Yeah. You know, he's a legend.
He's from here. So you have to root for him.
Yes,
you know,
definitely. And I
got
was.
To know him. Yeah. I got to know him real well. Good dude.
Mm-hmm.
Holloway, though.
He's a legend.
He's an OG.
Yes, he is.
And that's not the first time he's done things like that, right? He's winning the match. If he just would have ran around the circle, he would have won. He broke Gaethje's nose, poked him in the eye twice, okay? He had some great hits on him. And all he had to do was just move around, but that's not his style.
Right.
If he feels like he's done you wrong, he's going to give you an opportunity to get your chance to get back. But it's going to be 15 seconds of bringing everything you got, and Gaethje just got hit. You get caught.
That what,
you're done.
Yep. And anyone can
Anybody.
Get caught. You get caught in the right part of your jaw, Superman will fall. And, man, there was a spinning heel kick.
He does it a couple times.
1 second left, though, in the first round. With 1 second left, it was like simultaneously going to zero as Max Holloway's heel is connecting with Gaethje's nose and just exploded his nose.
Yeah.
And you could see Gaethje's entire approach change. He was more timid. He doesn't want to get hit there again.
Yep.
He couldn't stop touching the nose. They were talking about that on the broadcast. man, that was a legendary fight. And immediately after the event, they were calling it the greatest knockout in the history of UFC.
Oh, hands down. I mean, come on. Who's crazy enough to have the fight in the bag but say, you know what, let's go at it.
Yeah.
Let's go at it like it's just a regular street fight. And whoever comes out on top is the winner. And guess what? Holloway said, let's go with it.
Legendary.
Knockout.
Legendary. Absolutely legendary. And then there was another huge event going on this weekend.
Mm.
Huge for its sport. And it was the Masters. And I got to tell you, dude, I got to get something off my chest here.
All right.
I got to get something off my chest here. This day is not going to finish the way that it started.
It's time for Zach to get something off his chest.
This is not a drill.
Zach's the perfect guy because he is a grinder. And he's on every day.
Oh, I love it. I can't. I love it. And we don't play it a lot, so I get surprised when I hear it again. About once a month, I got to get something off my chest here.
You do.
Phil, is the Masters a big event for golf?
It is.
Would you call it like the Super Bowl of golf?
It's the Super Bowl.
It's the biggest event that they have. Who's the biggest needle mover in the history of golf?
I would say Tiger Woods.
I would agree with you. So you have Tiger Woods playing at the Masters on a Saturday morning, and it's not on TV.
What?
It's not on TV. Now, could you access it? Yeah. If you get the Masters app, if you pay for ESPN Plus, and guess what? You can go do those things. It's you can. If you wanted to find it, you could go find it. But guess what? When it's the biggest star in the history of your sport playing at the biggest event your sport has to offer, you shouldn't have to go find it. It should find you.
It has
you're
to.
Promoting your event and promoting your stars. And the fact that Tiger Woods was playing the Masters on a Saturday morning and it could not be accessed on television hurts the sport. I want it for the sport. And people come up with all these concoctions. Oh, it's so easy to get it. Well, guess what? You know what? A couple million are going to watch it instead of 15 million.
Yeah.
Why did we talk so much about Caitlin Clark this past month? It wasn't just the shot making. It was how many people were watching her.
Yep.
And what happened? It elevated the entire sport. And I know I'm on my soapbox here. And I know I might sound to someone out there old. But guess what? It would have been better for the sport of golf if, you know, Tiger Woods playing at the Masters was on TV.
Mm.
And I had to get that off my chest.
You're not wrong. You are not wrong. I don't know what they're doing, man.
And you know what a part of it is, Phil? It's the Masters itself.
Yeah.
It's the entity of the Masters. The Masters is different than, like, golf. Like, it represents golf, and it's an incredible representation. But they limit. They don't need the money. So they can limit whatever they want, and that's how they want to do it. But guess what? If you take yourself so important that you don't want to make your event accessible, you are prioritizing your own interests over the growth of the sport.
Yeah, you're hurting yourself.
You're hurting yourself. You can't tell me not having Tiger Woods play at Augusta at the Masters on a Saturday morning. What a rare window. It was a packed day in sports, national championships, UFC 300. The whole NBA was in action. The whole NHL was in action, and it wasn't on TV. So what can I do? I can't help you.
It's frustrating. It's irritating for that, man. It's been an irritating season for a lot of sports. A lot of our home sports, too.
Yes, you're right.
It is.
And it's missed opportunity for growth.
Yeah. It's missing opportunities to kind of overthrow the Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
And we talked about it. If they would have some of these games always playing, the Denver Broncos wouldn't be where they are still right now.
You may be on to something there. That the lack of capitalizing because of the TV issue has actually, who knows where the overall fan interest would be compared to the Broncos. And I don't know. That drove me a little bit crazy. But I couldn't believe the blowback I got on Twitter.
For real?
Oh, dude, go read the replies. I'm just shouting at the clouds. I'm like, dude, it's not about me accessing it. My grandpa will watch it if it's on CBS.
Yeah.
And he can't. Because he's not going to Masters.com or paying for ESPN Plus. So it's just like, I want what's best for the sport. I found it in 2 minutes and I was watching it.
Yeah.
But 10 million other people didn't do it, I can promise you. So, all right. Thanks for giving me the safe space.
It's okay. It's okay. It's like having two wives. Got one in the station wagon and I got my real wife.
Your real wife and your work wife. God almighty. Yeah, I guess I'm him? Her? I don't know.